Well, good morning, Jason and Tammy Hughes, all the way from Papua New Guinea. We are here this morning at Trinity, on the other side of the world. Just start with, give us a little update on what's going on there and how your mission's going.
Well, it's going good. We just, about 2 weeks ago, we had a consultants came in and did a language evaluation for us. And I am currently, they put me at progressing low and my coworker is at progressing high. There's like nine, they kind of break the language learning into nine levels. I'd be at level four and he would be at, level six. So, we're anticipating getting, or we're hoping to get checked out in language as soon as possible before we can get the green light to go ahead and start doing, teaching and, literacy classes and that kind of stuff. So right now we're in full-time language learning. As far as what's been happening in the village lately, it's been, I guess there's never a dull moment in the village, but, we've had a few different, deaths recently. We had a lady who, there was a marriage. There was two wives that got in a fight and one of them got stabbed and she's okay. She got, the aid post worker was able to take care of her, but then the lady who did it, her husband and, brothers, their family killed her. And so that's kind of been a big, heavy or big issue. Revenge killing is a huge thing here. And so her relatives came down from the mountains and, our people went up and burned houses and, cut their gardens and stuff like that to, in a way of showing that we don't approve of the killing that happened and we kind of a punishment. But anyway, we're kind of waiting to see what will happen with her family line who's up in the mountains. So far they're talking about just doing a compensation with, pigs and money to compensate for the lady's death. But, otherwise they end up doing these revenge killings and those can go back and forth. And our village is kind of, well, geographically, we're kind of right between those two, villages. Relationally, they're all related to the lady that died. And so our people they're in the middle, but they're kind of being the negotiators or the mediators in the situation right now. So anyways, that's been a ongoing thing lately. Nothing that we're particularly involved in besides trying to figure out what's happening, why they're doing what they're doing, the thoughts and the reasoning behind all that. And, trying to figure that stuff out. But, our coworkers. So we have two sets of coworkers. And one of them just left today, to go on their home assignment back in the States. And then the other family is supposed to be coming back in July, but they're still waiting for two visas for two of their kids. The whole family got their visas, but for some reason, two of the kids' visas got lost or not sure what happened, but, so they're resubmitting paperwork and trying to get those. So we're here in the bush for, about a month, maybe longer. We'll see, by ourselves, but it's going well. It was nice to have the consultants in. The consultants come in and see where we're at in language, but also they're able to give a lot of direction as far as what will help us to be able to move forward in language, the best and quickest. So that was really helpful. I think we can waste our time trying to work on certain things in language, that a little bit of direction can help us move forward a lot quicker, by doing the right things, I guess. So that was good. Does that answer?
While you're learning the language, what else are you doing? How are you interacting with the people in your village?
Well, our houses are smack in the center of the village. So they're our neighbors. We're with them constantly. They see every move we make, and they're with us all the time. But we like part of the language learning process, we do have a lot of office time where we're transcribing recordings and trying to memorize, practical expressions and or phrases and stuff. But a lot of it is also going out, working in the gardens with them, helping them build houses, going fishing with them or doing the things that they do in life, cooking food with them, getting firewood with them, doing those things so that we're learning how they live and how they think. And then we're getting the language that goes along with those things. So as far as our interactions with them, we're very involved every day. We're able to speak with there's a trade language in Papua New Guinea called Talk Pidgin, and it's a very basic language, and very difficult to communicate biblical principles, and like abstract ideas. But that's what we're able to use, to communicate with the people when we don't have the words learned to communicate in their language. And there's a good handful of the people who understand that trade language. A lot of the ladies don't speak it, and there's a lot of confusion, even with some of the men, just, like past tense and future tense. And when you're trying to use the trade language, they can get confused kind of easily, but it's an effective way to communicate on a day-to-day basis. We're trying to move away from that so that we're forced into speaking their language, but that's a hard step to make because when you want them to understand, our computers, there we go. When you want them to understand, you want to talk in the way that we're most comfortable with. So anyways, that's.
Do they have any concept of any religion or Christianity? I mean, with missionaries coming in and out in some places, maybe around there, have they heard any of the concepts or names?
Yes, they have. And, it's kind of a complicated situation because many years ago, I want to say back in the 80s, there was some sort of, I think it was
I guess you really never know if it's going to be working or not.
Mm-hmm.
Satellite dish is not the quickest connection.
I wonder how close he is to where he grew up. He grew up over there as a missionary kid.
Miss Judy, that's contagious.
No, sorry. I haven't finished my coffee yet.
We left you.
It's okay.
Sorry about that. Not sure what happened. So basically, they have a system of religion, and they'll pray, they'll talk about God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and yet their understanding of it is so skewed that we have a prophet here they call Prophet Moses, and everybody they'll bow down to him and give him offerings. They renamed the river next to us the River Jordan. They have a place they call South Israel. And sorry, are you guys there? Our screen is freezing up.
Weird.
Yeah, wait.
Can you hear
me? Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you all right.
Okay. Are you back?
Oh. Yeah, we got you back.
So, anyway, yeah, so that's kind of the spiritual situation. They have a form of Christianity. But from talking with people, even the people, we haven't gotten any sort of clear, understanding of Christ's death on the cross to pay for them, to pay for their sins, or even recognizing that they're sinners. And so, whatever message was preached, whether the message was true or not, their understanding of it it hasn't come clearly. So, that's kind of what we're up against, and we're trying to make sure that when we go to teach, not only are our words and speaking in their language coming across clear, but we can hopefully know their culture and their beliefs good enough that we can know what their understanding is as we're teaching. It's complicated. They had their traditional beliefs, with the dead ancestors and, worshiping mainly dead ancestors. They have what they call Sanguma, which is some sort of evil spirit that can possess people. And they have all those beliefs, and then they've kind of integrated them with the things that they've heard from the Bible. And so they have kind of a very complicated mixture of traditional and a little bit different facts from the Bible. It's kind of a mess.
How are your kids acclimating?
Yeah, I feel like overall they're doing really well. So Kinley's our oldest, and she's 10. And we just testing, and that she was struggling And that was a little bit discouraging, but it was a homeschool, like, plus in Papua New Guinea, live at the support. They were able to do calls with.
And it left their heart. So I imagine that fuels a sense of isolation for them.
Can you imagine? We get back when it's hiccups.
When the cable goes out.
Maybe
that's
when the electricity.
When was that? Not last week? Was it week before last? You had electricity, but we, none of us on our side had it. Because of the above ground wires. You take it for granted real quick. All of a sudden it's 75 degrees. And you getting packing yet?
I was talking with Isabel Waring, and I guess she's missed your meetings, but she didn't have a packing list, which I'm pretty sure that it's still in the G drive, but I'll pull something up. I wondered if Lori had one too. She might. Did y'all pass one out?
I think we did it one time, but you know, I'll make sure that she gets this one.
You kind of know what to take.
I'll talk to her. What is it, hot over there right now? Just like this here. Probably, it's actually hot warm over there. I was like, actually, last week, I'm not complaining. Get back. Take one.
Is this their first time out, or are they just going back?
When they came here, it was like April, May. They had not been there yet. Okay. Mine was like, but he grew up there. He had never been there. Yeah. And they had three kids.
I could see it could be a shock to her because she'd never been there.
The language, learning the language like Caroline's doing, it's hard enough, but then you have this one.
We have to create a language. It creates, you have to take the things and then,
It's just overwhelming. I couldn't learn a new language.
Long-term commitment to it is not something.
Are you committed for the long haul?
You can do it for a few years and then come back. You got to do this thing.
The main thing that years we have been working in Papua New Guinea. Diverse tribes out there.
And they probably all speak their own language.
Yeah.
The trade language might be some sort of, is it some sort of uniformity? Is it the same? What did he call it?
Pidgin language. It does give it some uniformity, but like you said, it's very basic. You can't look.
Yeah. But no abstract terms. And the women's position, you know. So I'm assuming since the punishment, if you will, of the chickens and money for the murder, that there's not some sort of legal system within the tribes.
It's such an isolated place. I mean, the forest just didn't do it. And it's really out in the middle of nowhere.
But if they have a airstrip, that's more.
Well, yeah, when they had built that, we would get there.
Yeah.
Yes, Father.
Are they located where the airstrip is? They're back.
Well, there's an airstrip.
Coming back in now, maybe. Different connection.
Because that's why the Sims fell up, flies the helicopter when there's not an airstrip for some of these places.
Hello?
Speaking up, she's muted.
Hey, y'all are muted. Oh, there you go. Yay!
Sorry, our internet connection doesn't seem to be working very well.
No apologies needed. All right, we didn't catch much about the kids, but are they acclimating?
Yeah, they are. I feel like they all seem to be doing well, and Kinley is our oldest, and she's learned to make the bags that they make here, and she loves cooking with the people. And then Case is our next one, who's 8, and he loves to go out and try to make these little gun things that they make here to shoot things. And then, yeah, Bo loves it too. I feel like they all really seem to enjoy life in here, which makes it nice.
Yeah, it makes that a lot easier. Well, good. Do they make friends with some of the kids in the village?
Yeah, they have. It's definitely a different kind of friendship just because the communication isn't, you know, there as much. I mean, but they do communicate in like the talk pigeon, like the trade language and stuff. So I feel like that's been good. And yeah, they seem to be adjusting well to coming back from furlough and stuff, which we were thankful for.
Jason, you were over there growing up, right?
Yeah. I spent most all my childhood over here. I lived at the support center, so up in Goroka, which is about a 45-50 minute flight out of here. There's a town, and I grew up there. That's where we call it our support base. So they have the pilots and mechanics all live out there, and they have people out there that will buy our supplies for us and send them into the bush. There's a medical clinic, so when we have any medical questions, we can write them, and then they'll tell us go find these medications and take them or whatever. And so they're our support center. So I grew up not in the bush, but at that support center, which is, it's just outside of town a little ways. But I learned the trade language growing up. And have that, I guess, advantage to knowing the trade language, although it maybe makes it a little harder to give up the trade language and speak their tribal language. But yeah.
Are your children picking up the tribal language faster than you are? That seems automatic.
Yeah. They're not working at it full time every day with their other studies, but they definitely, they're hearing a lot. They can, they can't say a whole lot, but the people talk to them and tell them, go do this, go do that. And they're understanding and picking up. So it's fun to see them learning it as well. So
do the people understand why you are there in the village? Do the villagers understand?
I think not. I don't think completely. You know, we've told them why we're here, and we had a pastor from another tribe flew in with us before we came, and he gave a really strong talk in the trade language just about what New Tribes does, why we're coming, and how they can assist us by helping us learn the language and taking care of us. And that was really good. but they refer to us as a service, just like school is a service, or a house, or a aid post is a service, or even a company they would call a service. And so they refer to us as a service, and we keep trying to tell them we're not a service, which kind of, I mean, we're not a service. We are doing them a service, if that makes sense, but we're not here. And we do end up getting involved in medical stuff, and we want to help the people however we can, but we're not primarily there to help them with their physical needs. And so, they know, and we will tell them that, and they all say, oh yeah, we know. But then they still, I think, have some expectations or misconceptions, right, as far as why we're there. And I think a lot of that even comes back to they believe very strongly that if they do religion right, if they do church right, then their village is going to become a city, and it's going to become town, and that's what their belief is. And so, yeah, we're not here to provide those things, but we're going to teach them how to get those things in their mind, I think. And so, it's something that we're always trying to explain and clarify, but yeah.
Do y'all have any questions around the table? No? Did you grow up friends with the Sims? Wasn't that?
Yeah. My dad was in aviation, and so Stuart Sims was in Forrest. They were quite a bit older than me. But we called him Uncle Jim. He would come over, and he worked with my dad a lot. So even when he was living stateside, he would come and stay with us a lot. So yeah, good friends. Haven't seen them in a long time, Stu, we saw last week. We went up to the support center, and we saw him up there and talked to him a little bit, him and his family.
We're talking to Jim this week, and he got me online and showed me how you can track the cargo ship with another helicopter on it that's coming over. He was really excited about it, how he could watch the progress of where the helicopter was. It will be here when we talk to him next week. It was going to take it a while.
That's going to be great. We're grateful to have a airstrip. It's not a very long airstrip, but we have an airstrip, and so we're able to get in and out with the airplane, which is really, really nice. Flown the helicopter a few times, but not into here. But yeah, super grateful for those guys. There are medevac if we have an emergency. There are food, and there are everything suppliers. So we depend on them a lot.
That's great. Well, you did send us a few prayer requests. Is there anything else today before we go to prayer that we can lift up for you?
I think personally, that I think that sums up most of it. Right now, there's a little baby. He's maybe two.
Almost two.
Probably almost two, but he has, we don't know what he has. He's got a bad cough or some sort of lung. I don't know if it's a lung infection. It also, he had 104 fever, which usually fever that high, I often hear means malaria. And some other situations going on too. So, and we try not to get too involved in medical. We're not doctors. But we're trying to help him out and, trying to figure out what's going on with him. So we'd appreciate prayer for him. His name is Case and he's on an antibiotic right now and hopefully we'll see some improvement tomorrow. If that antibiotic is what he needed. So, but yeah, I appreciate prayer for him. But yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have Bubba open us up and then Tom will close us. Anybody that wants to pray in the meantime can do so. So go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to talk to Tammy and Jason and Lord, for the communication, even though it might not be the best, but it's so good just to be able to hear from them out in the bush. And Lord, I just think of their heart and passion to reach there for Jason going back and for Tammy going the first time. And for us, a very difficult situation, but they seem to be managing it well. So I pray that you will give them your wisdom. I started out talking about the families, how they treat each other. That, Lord, I pray that their presence there, that they can be the Christ, and Lord, that some of that lifestyle might change. And you would be with them as they learn the language from the praise language to the native language, so they prepare just to communicate and maybe to translate the Bible and share the love of Christ. So, Lord, we know that you can change these people. That's you've changed us and you can change them. So I thank you for their willingness to go for the long haul, to start with the very basics and work with these people. What a blessing that is. So I do lift up this young child and pray that you would be there and just pray that anybody would do what it needs to do to heal the child. Just to thank them in a situation where very little medical care, but you can use Tammy and Jason just to be an encouragement to the people there. So I thank you for the many years of work that have gone on in Papua New Guinea and for Jason's involvement and us being involved with the same. Going back many years, so what a blessing and opportunity it is to talk with them this morning and hear what's going on and be able to pray for them. So we lift them up now and pray that you would be with them. In Christ's name I pray.
Father, I just thank you for Tammy and Jason, and to go to Papua New Guinea and to go to one of the remotest parts of the world. Spread the love of Christ there amongst the people in this village and the surrounding villages. We know, Father, that their presence there can be life-changing for the people that they come across. We pray that that will be shown in everything that they do. While we pray that for their children, we pray that they would fit in well and they would adapt and that they would have an influence on the other children around them, and that they would see your love in their lives also, Father. While we pray for their language progress and how they're able to take this local language and potentially create something written and create something that can be translated and the Bible can be translated, and we know this is like long-term progress, and we know this is long-term, and it takes many, many years, and I pray, Father, that you would strengthen them through this and make those years go by quicker and make that progress happen quick. Father, we thank you and ask this in your son's name.
Lord, thank you for allowing us this opportunity to talk to the Hugheses this morning. Lord, we thank you for the technology that makes this possible. We just lift up their family and their children, Lord, and pray that you continue to help them acclimate and persevere. Lord, we ask that you will help the language learning, help it to be clear and easy, Lord. We just ask that you will be with Case, this child, Lord. I pray that the antibiotics will help heal him and that you will use this as a tool to further your kingdom, Lord. We ask this all in his name.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to talk with Jason and Tammy and for their work there. I agree with these prayers from my brothers and sisters here that Jason and Tammy are there because of your great permission. And we're told to go into all the world and they have done that and are doing that now. And so we lift them up to you as your workers there. And I'm sure that there are many challenges that can only be guessed at from here, but are day-to-day realities for them. And I pray that you would sustain Jason and family and where they are, interact with villagers and learn to communicate, and learn the language, and we'll be able to begin translation work. I pray for their partnership with these other families, with the Myers as they are leaving, and the Fergusons for their visas to be approved, to be able to return the fellowship that would be an essential part of daily life there, even as well as the work together with the translation work. I pray that you would sustain them spiritually and emotionally as well as physically. I pray that you would be able to help them communicate the gospel to the villagers around them, day in and day out, through the able to work together and interact together, and as the words come to them, that the villagers would understand what your word truly teaches. Your word is our lifeline. No matter where we are in this world, we look to you and depend on the teaching of your word and the work of your spirit. And so I pray your presence with them, that they would know your presence there. And for the children as they grow and learn the situation and the language, and for the homeschooling that has happened there, that those children would also know you and love you and trust in you and serve you as they grow there. Lord, we're grateful for once again for the blessings that is ours, even for each of us, to look to you as our loving Heavenly Father. Pray that each of us would serve you well in this day. Pray for good rest for Jason and Tammy as they turn in for the night now. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.